My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Shryan and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. I know exactly what you're asking. Who are these men, you are asking? These men before us deployed in the form of a chevron. Well, may you ask. They are, in fact, John Amis and Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Acting on my behalf as scorer is our fair maid of Perth, Mary Bell. So why not start with Beethoven? John, a first question for you, a moment from Beethoven's Fidelio. John, the critic, Hilary Finch, reviewing a Beethoven concert in the Times, praised what she called some most deductive orchestral playing. What is deductive orchestral playing?
Seductive.
Deductive.
Deductive.
Said, yes.
Well, I should think it's a misprint.
You've got yourself a mark. I checked with Hilary Finch. She said, I said seductive, and they printed deductive. Yes. Quite right.
Yes. Hilary Finch writing in the blinds.
Writing in the blinds. Frank, this is Slam Stewart. Weird effect, bowing the double bass and humming at the same time, Slam Stewart. Double bass players, Frank, in the street or on station platforms are forever being asked, "Hey, mate, how do you get it under your chin?" What ought they to reply, do you think?
How do you get it under your chin?
Yes, if you like.
Well, you'd reply, "Well, I could, but if I did, how would I blow it?"
That would do better than what I could. Yeah, that's right. Could you?
Thank you.
One bass player I know, how do you get it under your chin, mate? He said, by keeping my mouth shut. But the best was a bass player I used to know called Cyril Parr, who on a station platform lumbering this great thing around, somebody said to him, how do you get it under your chin, mate? And he put the double bass down and pointed and went... went into hysterics of laughter and went on and on and on until the man just slunk away, having known exactly what he'd done. Ian, what a pleasure it is to hear some familiar music and instantly be able to put a name to it like that.
Oh, yes, wouldn't it be?
Don't you think? Right. Try this.
It's just a touch of the Griegs.
Yes, a pink bonbon filled with snow, somebody once called it.
Yes, it's one of the Norwegian dances.
That's right, it's the second of the Norwegian dances by Grieg, quite right.
Was it a little on the slow side?
Yes, it was, rather. It was John Barbarolli conducting there, feeling...
Well, I wouldn't quarrel with...
That day, feeling...
Sorry I spoke.
Grieg being more of a Scots than Norwegian name, of course.
Yes, there's all these rumours that his real name was Greg.
Well, his grandfather was a Scot.
Yes,
actually.
Yes.
That's where it came from.
Bud Flanagan used to say he was a very clever man with writing all that music and having all those grocery shops.
A fair cricketer, too.
Yes.
There's that great rumour that Donizetti was really called Don Isett.
Oh, that's a nice one. Dennis, back to the year 1927 and a new dance introduced by the Coon Sanders Nighthawks.
Move them slow, move them pretty for me. Plant your feet on the floor. Ease them down, strut some more. Sweet, lay them low, like you know how to do. Glue them down to the spot. Oh, baby, get hot. Slew them. Don't you hear that song?
very mannered, very dated. Mm. That may have been the first dance called Slewfoot, Dennis, but it wasn't the last.
There was a thing called the Slewfoot that Fred Astaire and Leslie Caron did in Daddy Long Legs.
Well, I think you will find it here, the tune.
Johnny Mercer.
Wasn't that in Second Chorus?
Now, wait a minute. Second Chorus.
Yes, Fred Astaire.
Yeah, it was Fred Astaire and Burgess Meredith and Paulette Goddard.
That's right, yeah. Yes.
Wouldn't talking be Burgess of Meredith.
No.
Talking of feet, a special round for foot fetishists. It's to do with feet, boots and shoes. We do try to please everybody in these programmes if we can. John, and did those feet in ancient time parry's music, of course, but whose words?
Blake.
Yes, William Blake. Right. Frank, at the end of a certain song, there's a reference to pedal extremities. Can you place that? Pedal extremities.
Puccini, isn't it? it's Barber Seville. It's the Figaro, isn't it?
Raising the chair.
It's a translation of the diddle 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 diddle. Dublin Deputy, Pebble Extremity, Figaro.
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 I will play you. I'll play
I'm
going
to go on until you give me a half a mile.
Play
Figaro.
Figaro. I'll give you a touch on the piano as what I had in mind.
Feet's too big, fat's
yes,
smaller.
Feet's too big, fat's smaller.
I like well, I was close.
I
you must
your answer. Give the boy a mark.
That's one and a half.
Ian, your reference is to socks. In your shirt and your socks, the black silk with gold clocks crossing Salisbury Plain on a bicycle. From?
From the Lord Chancellor's Nightmare song in Iolanthe, and I have to confess that although I suppose I have been described in my time as a patter singer, that is one song that I have never attempted.
It's a very wise song not to sing.
I think so.
Gilbert makes a lot of play, like a source of innocent merriment. Mm. But his merriment wasn't at all innocent, was it? I mean, all those things were really sort of viciously sadistic.
Well, the executions. Lord, High Executions. Yeah. It's terrible, isn't it?
The list is frightful. Yeah. And this one, too, The Hangover, is awful.
Yes.
Somebody once said that Mikado was like Turandot without any deaths in it.
Dennis, still to do with feet, much more recent yours. I'll hear a footstep on the stair. Shall I play you the line?
And maybe you'll be there.
You've never sung a top E flat before.
That's what nightmare songs can do.
With anxious heart, I'll hurry to the door, the title, and maybe you will be there. For some pianists, the forte piano is their forte. For me, the piano forte is my piano, rather. So, nevertheless, here goes, John. Key and a number?
It's the song that Smetana used to sing to people who always called him Smetana. He used to sing Smetana, Smetana.
Nice idea.
It's turns out to be an A-flat, opus 31.
Not quite, A-flat, no.
E-flat, then. It's A-flat, but
E-flat,
I mean...
Yes.
It goes to E-flat. 31 number 3?
Yes, that's right, yes. Sonata in E-flat. The first chord is A-flat, so you're right even about that. Opus 31 number 3, bye.
Oh, Beethoven.
Beethoven, that's right. John, I heard Schnabel play that. Can you recall what Schnabel said were the two kinds of audience? He said there are two kinds of audience, those who cough and those who don't.
I do remember that he was at a concert once playing Schubert. And it was February, Cambridge Circus, Cambridge Theatre, and they were coughing like mad. And after the second or third movement, he got up and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, may we please come to an agreement? Either you cough or I will play, but not both at the same time." And there wasn't a sound, though.
No. It's cruel, and yet if you really challenge an audience, somehow the cough thing gets smothered, doesn't it? Frank. for you a little Bach. Frank, this is a musical question because it arises out of some music being played. When sheep may, or do, safely graze, their shepherds don't count them 1, 2, 3, 4. They have a special Welsh style all their own. Can you have a stab at that numbering of Welsh shepherds' sheep? It's a lovely line.
I don't know about Welsh. I know Yen Ten Tither.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that Welsh?
Yes, supposed to be. Anyway,
it's elsewhere as well.
What is it?
Yan Tan Tither. That's as far as I know. I can only count up to three and then I go to sleep. never heard the rest of it.
Yan Tan Tither, Pether, Pimp, Sether, Leather, Hover, Bother, Dick, Yan, Dick, Tan, Dick, Tether, Dick, Pether, Dick, and so on. James Agut, Frank, said that hearing that always reminded him of Rachmaninoff adding up a bridge score in Russian.
Yan is one, in fact, isn't it?
Yes, Yan is one. Two, Tan, so on. Ian, do you know a tune called Llangollen Dreamer?
Llangollen Dreamer, it's a Welsh round, this is it now. No, I don't think I do.
Well, now, it was requested once on Housewife's Choice, that radio programme. George Elric worked out what the tune was that they meant. They meant this tune.
Yes,
Llangollen Dreamer. Yes, Llangollen Dreamer was what.
That's like a postcard. When I was doing a record request show, I had and it came from Ireland, and it said any record by, and it was Sturtboros, Sturt Boros, and I thought, is this some Greek singer? And then I thought, as it comes from Ireland, let's see what it would be like in a sort of Irish accent, and it was Stuart Boris.
Oh, yeah. Of course, that's right, yes.
And so I played a record of Stuart, and they were quite happy.
Right. Dennis, this is right up your street, I think. Dennis, there are two answers to the simple question, who played Stella?
I think you've got the wrong street. That it's
Stella by
Starlight.
Starlight, yes.
Who played
Stella?
Well,
now, the composer played it in the film. It was supposed to be the composer, played it in the film. Oh, to Gail know. Russell.
Gail Russell.
Who played Stella. Yes.
Yes. I haven't thought trees. About Gail Russell. Must be yeah. Weeks now. What else you got there? Yeah?
Well, no, she was Stella in the film The Uninvited, and the man who played the composer...
Uninvited was Ray Milland.
That's right, Ray Milland.
I tell you something about that. Could I get half a mark? Because I
you got the whole mark for Ray Milland.
Oh, do I? All right.
I'm in indulgent mood this...
But that film was a quite a good Charles Brackett ghost story. And it got very good reviews from the critics here because they said how rare it was to see an American film, a ghost story, where you didn't actually see the ghosts.
Yes.
And they complimented it on his discretion and so on. What had happened was that the British Film Centre had taken the ghost scenes out.
Stella by Starlight, the song, The Uninvited, the film, and the song by Victor Young. There are two ballet scores that I love above all others. Any guesses, before we go any further, as to which of the two ballet scores I love above all others?
Wedding Bouquet.
Seriously. No. The nice, sloppy, sentimental thought. No. Well, one is Ravel's Daphnis and Chloe, and the other is the subject of this round. John, I'll play you its beginning and ending with a useful hint, I think, about 12 seconds from the start. So it begins like this. And it ends like this.
Need any help?
I defy you to get it wrong.
Yes, that's right. Because it is the
Well, it's either the...
Yes, that's what it is, yes.
El Sombrero de Tres Picos.
Yes. The three-cornered,
three-cornered
hat. Yeah, the three-cornered hat. Manuel de Falla's The Three-Cornered Hat, yeah. Frank, this is one of the many dynamic musical moments from The Three-Cornered Hat.
Not yet it isn't.
Frank, in formal classical ballet, which part of the body would you exercise while doing a plié? I do try, you know, I do try.
Plié, French word.
Yeah, that's true, with an E acute on the end, yes.
Is it when they're slightly bow-legged, they leap up and down and clap their ankles together quickly like a pair of French pliers?
It's not really right, is it?
No, I'm not. No. It's not, is it?
It concerns...
I can do a fouetté for half a mark.
Ah, yes. Right.
Well, it's the, when they're dashing about the stage, you get terribly hot. They fouet. And it's a condition in which they leave off.
That's special plié-ding, isn't it?
Plié means to bend.
Thank you. While doing a plié, the knees would bend. You've got it. The knees would exercise, yes. Ian, another melodious moment from the same score. Ian, the first London production of that ballet was just after World War I. What other event of major artistic significance took place in the year 1919? One spring to mind?
Not really. Modesty would...
Hooray, he's got it! He's got
forbid it. Me to reveal, unless I've been able to think of any other... something which is written, certainly not of any great artistic significance, but it was the year in which I was born.
Thank you very much.
Not well, I think that must be the first time anybody's got a clap for being born.
On a big book it says, 1919, Ian Wallace born, Patty died, Renoir died, Moon and Sixpence, Heartbreak House, they all happened in 1919. Dennis, luscious music from this story of pomposity brought low in this ballet. It's a familiar situation. In fact, after we heard a little music, give us another example or two of the pompous cut down to size. Pompous cut down to size.
Yeah, they always strike me as the best kind of anecdotes, because when you hear about orchestral conductors withering some poor second fiddle player, he's speaking, as it were, from above to below, and therefore... But when you can get away with it from below to above, that always strikes me as much more satisfying. The one that I remember was supposed to be Lord Nuffield when he was dining at one of the Oxford... colleges, and when he came to leave, the porter bought the clothes and handed him his hat, and Lord Nuffield said, "Now, are you sure that hat belongs to me?" And the porter said, "No, sir, but it's the one you were wearing when you came in."
Lovely. A travel song, a lament, a warning, an evergreen popular song. Four songs altogether lined up for these closing minutes. As always, and I must have said this many times before, the scoring part of the show is over, and these songs have been chosen by their singers, so they're not for competition, they're just for fun. Manhattan, from Frank, was the first collaboration between Rodgers and Hart. One of their best, as it turned out, too. Okay, chord.
We'll have Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island too. It's lovely going through
the zoo. It's very fancy, your Delancey sweet, you know. The subway charms us so when balmy breezes blow to and fro. And tell me what street compares with Mott Street in July. Sweet push cars gently gliding high. A great big city is a wondrous toy, just made for a girl and boy. We'll turn Manhattan into an Isle of Joy.
And John offers The Housewives' Lament, Canadian in origin, I believe. Anyway, universal in application.
One day I was walking, I heard a complaining. I saw a poor woman, the picture of gloom. She gazed at the mud on her doorstep, 'twas raining, and this was her song as she wielded her broom. Oh, life is a toil and love is a trouble. Beauty will fade and riches will flee. Wages will dwindle and prices will double, and nothing is as I would wish it to be. There are worms on the cherries and slugs on the roses and ants on the sugar and mice in the pies. The rubbish of spiders immortal supposes and ravaging roaches and damaging flies. It's sweeping at 6 and dusting at 7. It's victuals at 8 and it's dishes at 9. It's potting and panning from 10 to 11. We scarce break our fast till we plan how to dine. Oh, life is a toil and love is a trouble. Wages will dwindle and prices will double, and nothing as I would wish it to be.
Requests for copies of those words should be written on the back of a £20 note. Some of us remember the days when framed texts used to hang on the walls of our homes. And Dennis sings about one such text now.
I was one of 18 boys, all of us wore corduroys. I was roughest of the gang, for my braces used to hang dangling at the back of me, and mother used to bawl. Words she'd writ in filigree and hung up in the hall. Never let your braces dangle, dingle, dingle, dangle. Never thieve and don't deceive and never round or wrangle. Stick to the right, get away from the bad. Don't get as tight as your poor old dad. But the greatest motto of the lot, my lad, is never let your braces dangle.
I think the song called Never Let Your Braces Dangle is fit to set alongside Ian's Never Have a Bath Till You Need One. 1909, that song was born. Ian's song has a most tuneful verse, which I propose to play myself, leaving him to join in for, really, an immortal chorus.
Again with you when our love was new and each kiss an inspiration. But that was long ago, Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song. Beside a garden wall, when stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale of paradise where roses grew. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it will remain. My stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
We thank you very much, don't we? And you might like to know, in closing, that the competition part of the proceedings was won by nobody at all this week. It was a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.